Adrian being sexy. As a character, Adrian is stiff. Seriously, it is all Adrian's fault that this evil was released.
Do be careful, Adrian.
Hello, 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 hello! Welcome! I am Adrian Lozano. I am your host. This is episode 161. It is not about baseball, but what it is about is a little thing called Ghostbusters Afterlife. I just saw it. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay. Couple of things. First off, hope you're doing well. Second off, I got some music to play for you. I'll do that right now. And then I'm going to talk about some bust ghosting. Oh, busting makes me feel good. That was not Hotel California you heard, although I could see how you would mistake one for the other. But Hotel California is prominently featured in Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. There's a very cute story of this dude's about to get into a fight with a bully. This dude being Sean. They call him Sean in the movie. that was a great joke too. It's like, your name's Shang and you changed your name to Sean? He's like, I was 14. It's like, yeah, but come on. That was great. What else have I checked out lately that's worth your damn time? Dead Meat, that show Dead Meat's finally doing Hellraiser, which they're doing the first four Hellraisers, which if you've ever seen Hellraiser, you would know that those first four are kind of self-contained. They're pretty much the beginning, the middle, and the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got this beautiful, almost operatic love story that's filled with tragedy, and then you kick it into Hellraiser in space when it comes to number four. You know what I'm saying? And I love me some good space horror. So yeah, this is it's cool. If you have not seen the first four Hellraisers, it's okay. It's okay. I would say the least intense one would be the fourth. It's more of like, it's like kind of like watching the History Channel, you know, and you follow this bloodline down a couple of generations, and yeah, it's pretty rowdy. I like it. I like it quite a bit. But I like all the Hellraisers, even the terrible ones, because you have to. I mean, in a way, I mean, I like them because they involve the characters that I very much enjoy, so you're kind of obligated to at least check them out. But I'm getting ahead of myself. If I was to ever do a Hellraiser movie, it would definitely have to do with them fighting Frederick Krugenstein. Because why the fuck not? Like, if he gets sent to hell, do you remember, what was it? I think it was the Dream Child where Freddy's got those demons in him, those three demons. They're all hitting him from the back. I believe it was Dream Child. I probably sound like a fool, but that whole idea of just him going to hell, like, I mean, he goes to hell pretty much, I mean, you would think all the time, but he keeps coming fucking back. So I would love to see him fight Pinhead, just like I want to see Jason fight Michael Myers. You know what I'm saying? They could be friends, but why? Let them fight it out. And be so silent. You know what I'm saying? It'd be so silent. But it'd be like one of them Charlie Chaplin sketches. He's fighting all them Keystone Cops, but it's all like, you know. Anyway, the important thing to remember is that there is a Jason versus Michael Myers. It's a fan-made, or not a fan-made, it's a YouTube original. Not a YouTube original. How am I putting this wrong? How am I doing this wrong? Let's open the door to let the cat in. All right. And, it's a couple of channels have undertaken this, pretty I guess, heavily requested storyline, and made a couple of short films about it. I'll do some digging into those later on, but for the time being, I'm just dreaming. I love a good ramekin. Alrighty, folks, I want to say this first and foremost. I enjoyed the movie. If you have not seen the movie, you might want to go see the movie and then come back, because there's nothing but spoilers here. If you know me, you know I love me some spoilers. So, that being said, spoilers ahead. The movie's great. So the movie starts off with a daughter who's estranged from her father. This daughter is the daughter of Egon Spengler. Egon Spengler, Harold Ramis, is without a doubt the smartest of the Ghostbusters. I mean, no doubt whatsoever, this guy's the brains. He's the Reed Richards of Ghostbusters. So, that being said, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. McKenna Grace plays his granddaughter, and she's smart as a whip, you know? And Finn Wolfhard, good with automobiles. So, again, the mom, however, I guess did not fare well in the field of anything science related. She in fact hated Egon for leaving the family, and you know, it's understandable. You really don't know somebody until you know somebody, and then once you know them, you often think back on what you thought they were or who you thought they were, and you realize, oh, assumptions were made. Yeah. So, that being said, they get evicted from their house, and they have to go to an old farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. I think it's Oklahoma, and Somerville is the name of the place. They go out there, and everybody in town knows of Harold Ramis. They call him the Dirt Farmer, because he was always just tilling the land, but never grew anything. Never had any, you know, fruits of his labor, or so they thought. The Ecto-1 makes an appearance rather early on, and you get a feel for the characters and what their drive is. Like with Finn Wolfhard, he sees a chick he likes, he goes to work at the same fucking restaurant she's working at, which, you know, I mean, when you like somebody, you'll do anything, like, just to get to spend more time with them. Even if that means getting a shit job at a fucking fast food joint, which, you know, is the case with Finn Wolfhard, but he's also good with mechanics. So, or he's mechanically inclined, I should say. He's the one that brings the Ecto-1, him and Harold Ramis. So, let me get this out there. Throughout the movie, there are various nods to Harold Ramis, Egon Spengler. I'm going to call him Harold Ramis because, I mean, he is Egon, but what else do you know Harold Ramis from? Stripes? I mean, like, Stripes? Is that it? Like, no, it's, he'll always be Egon. But, Egon, but not forgotten. Anyway, so fucking, the movie starts off in a field, and they are, we see a man, an older man, who is trying to trap something. This mysterious ball of light whipping around this field. And wouldn't you know it, this whole fucking thing doesn't work out. He tries to trap this ball of light in this field, stomps on the pedal to open up the ghost traps in the field, like some kind of, you know, power device blows a fuse. And fuck, man, we're stuck out. He ends up failing in his attempt to stop what we later find out is the coming of Gozer with Zool and Vince Clorthos. Like, fucking. So, we see him. He fails. He goes into a chair. He passes on. We see that light whip around. And cut to the family getting evicted. Now, the other thing about the family getting evicted is they based, like, the mom is struggling. She's poor, which is something I can relate to. I'm poor, and I also grew up poor. So there's a big hill they have to overcome, a big obstacle they have to overcome, which is, you know, just basic poverty. You know how it is. Anyway, so on their way into Somerville, we get some cute exposition type for the characters, like in the middle of them driving, even though Finn Wolfhard is only 15 and he failed his driver's license test 3 times. You see him working on the vehicle while they're driving, and McKenna Grace doesn't really have the ability. She's Egon. She's 100% Egon. She is 110% Egon, because she tells some of the worst jokes. All right, so I want to go ahead and wrap up this by unwrapping it and then rewrapping it like I do. The a couple of things have come to light. The one thing that came to light was that the fact that Egon had a wife before he was a Ghostbuster came into play, which I don't know, that that's an interesting aspect I didn't think about. I didn't anticipate that being the case. I thought it would have been after the Ghostbusters, but I guess he would have been, I don't know, it would have been in the 90s, so if he started a family then the chick now would be a lot younger, or would she? I don't know. It's just a weird thing. Also, too, there was a callback to when Bill Murray gave Harold Ramis the Crunch Bar. It was still in his suit, which is pretty cool. I didn't notice that at first, but upon reanalyzing it the second time, it was like, oh shit, that's right, that does happen. Like I said, I definitely recommend this. There's a lot of little tidbits in there, a lot of product placement, and it's worth watching. All right, I just wanted to say that. What do a cigarette and a hamster have in common? Answer, they're both perfectly harmless until you put one of them in your mouth and set it on fire. Pretty good joke. So, I'm going to tell you all the parts that I really liked, and I'm going to jump all over the place. First and foremost, I like aspects of the setup. I don't like that they wrote Egon off and had him go to this house in the middle of nowhere. But, and then have him be estranged, like, have him not be able to connect with anybody, really was bizarre to me. Like, why couldn't he take his family? You know, like, was it because they were in danger? Why couldn't his friends come with him? Why couldn't the other Ghostbusters believe him? I didn't like that. That doesn't, I mean, yes, it does fit Egon's, but it would have more been suited to Ray. I feel like if Ray would have done it, I don't know. I think it's just because Egon's passed, like, because he's not there, because he's passed away in real life, that we're stuck with this fucking, this bullshit premise. Because why wouldn't he tell everybody what he was fucking doing, you know? They made him out to be like a religious nut, and I didn't like it. I didn't like how they portrayed his character. Now, they use a double. They use a body double, and they use a CGI rendering of Harold Ramis. I mean, the body double thing I understand, because it just infers that it's Harold Ramis, but the CGI ghost thing, man, I loved it and was a little bit thrown off because he has no lines of dialogue, and it's just, it starts off very subtle. With little hints and tips, and there's things in the movie that you notice, like when lamps kick on right next to something that's important, sometimes the entirety of the lamp will lean into the person, like lean over towards the person that's needing the light. The whole thing of, like, she has a chessboard that gets knocked down. She picks it up, sets up all the pieces, and then begins to play chess with her grandfather over the course of a few scenes. And it's awesome. It's just the right amount of creepy. I like Podcast. I like the little character that played Podcast, the little boy. He did a good job. He wasn't annoying like most child actors can be. I thought he did a great job. McKenna Grace was great. She just channels Egon. Her awkwardness is so enjoyable that I hope this chick gets a lot more gigs and we get to see her in more stuff in this franchise. I mean, like, I hope we get to see this character come back more and more. The PKG meter? Is it? Oh, it's EKG, I believe. EKG. Or is it PKG? I can't remember. I know there's a K and a G involved in there somehow. But anyway, the important thing is that the gadgets feature a lot more predominantly in the actual movie itself. Like, all the gadgets are used on a regular basis. The ghost traps used a fuckload. The proton packs are used a fuckload. The ghost detector, let's call it right now. I can't remember if it's PKG or EKG. Please excuse me, I'm drunk. But the thing is, all this technology is being used, but yet nobody really knew what Egon was doing. They kind of just dismissed him as a crazy dirt farmer guy, which, you know, I mean, whatevs. It's, I think that would be the vibe he would give off, but, I mean, nobody got close to him, not even Janine, you know? I mean, like, I don't know. I have a hard time buying it. Also, they don't tell you who Egon's wife was, you know, and whatever happened to her. I mean, I don't think he would marry somebody that wasn't also a scientist. And I don't know. There's a lot of plot holes that I wanted to explore. Like, Ray gave the excuse that they had done their job too well, according to Venkman, and there wasn't any more paranormal events or paranormal activity, let's say. There wasn't anything going on. By the way, did you know there's like fucking 7 of the movies? Anyway, it just seemed peculiar to me to have it wind up this way. It seems very, like, let's just skip over the important details and get to the synopsis. So they tried to replace Slimer with a new character called Muncher. I don't know how McKenna Grace can pick up that nuclear fucking accelerator and just wield it like nothing. I believed it, though, when they show her at the end fighting with that nuclear... I mean, fighting Gozer with... Harold Ramis helping her. Egon is fucking helping her hold the fucking proton pack. I mean, not the pack, the actual, like, gun itself. Because she's getting pushed back because she literally doesn't weigh anything. She's a little 12-year-old girl that's just, you know, weighs nothing and she's getting pushed back. Gosh. You get to see all three Ghostbusters that are still alive come back into the picture and they all have scenes. Dana Barrett's there. They didn't get Rick Moranis. They didn't get the guy who played Peck. Fuck, his name escapes me. Anyway, they didn't get everybody back, but, I mean, they did do a CG Harold Ramis, which, fuck, man. It got me to well up a little. I was like, oh, shit, I miss Egon. But the cameo or the special appearance that fucking got me was Olivia Wilde as Gozer. Olivia Wilde as Gozer. Tron Legacy herself as Gozer. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. I wish she had done more, but she really didn't have to. She had the look, she had the flat top, and she got to go toe-to-toe with Ray again, asking him if he was a god. And Winston had to chime in with, like, Ray, we've been over this. Like, come the fuck on, dude. Oh, shit. Two post-credit scenes. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Dana Barrett appears in one of the post-credit scenes. And then Ernie Hudson takes over in the final post-credit scene, being the financier. The financer. For the next wave of Ghostbusters movies. The marshmallow, the little Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, replaced the ghost in the red symbol, which, I mean, that's cute. You know, it's cute. Paul Rudd was the Rick Moranis in this and turned into a dog. And I really wanted more. I'm happy with what I got, but I really, really wanted more. And I guess that's because I'm a huge Ghostbusters, the animated series fan. I even watched the one with the gorilla until, like, somebody was like, no, it's called The Real Ghostbusters. And then, Extreme Ghostbusters. I have a hard-on so fucking hard for Extreme Ghostbusters, I can break glass with it. That fucking show, seriously, that fucking show absorbed a lot of my hours as a child. And I'm grateful, very grateful, but if you haven't watched that show, like Egon's in it, if you haven't watched that show, do yourself a favor and check out the Extreme Ghostbusters. It's fucking fun. Most of the episodes can be found on YouTube. I mean, fuck, dude, they're great. They're really good. And this gave me that vibe. Like, I felt like, holy shit, it's a new generation. And I love the Ghostbusters. I really liked the 2016 one. I didn't think it was shit like everybody else did. It wasn't the best, but it was great for what it was trying to do, which was get people to like Ghostbusters, which a lot of women genuinely liked that movie, and a lot of guys couldn't get their heads out of their asses. So I'm just saying, this one did it right in the way that you would want to reinvigorate the franchise. It went back to the core, and it went back to what was most important, which was the relationship the Ghostbusters had with each other. There's a really heartfelt moment where Winston, Venkman, and Ray all share a moment with Egon, and he says nothing because he doesn't have to because he's a ghost. But, like, you just see him, and boy, is it, like, he's got a beard, he's got all white hair. It looks good, man. It looks like what you think he would look like. But, well, I mean, normally Harold Ramis also was the dean in the movie Orange County with Tom Hanks' son and Jack Black. He was the dean that got all fucked up. I think he got tranquilized or he got drunk or something like that, but he was all fucked up. And, he's normally very clean shaven. I don't really remember him rocking a beard too often, but, man. Fuck, dude. The ghost looked good. The ghost version of him looked good. I gotta say that it's worth your time if you're a Ghostbusters fan. It does way more of a service to the fans than anything else, with the exception of the first one. It's great. I gotta watch it again to really let it sink in. Normally I like to watch movies at least twice before I review them on the show, but damn, I'm doing things on the fly, doing it different right now, but I'm okay with that if you're okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, the show's free. What the fuck do you want from me? Okay, all you hardcore Freddy fans out there, and I'm looking at all four of you. The movie I was actually thinking of was Freddy's Dead. That's the one with the dream demons. You dream warrior motherfucker, you. So, dream warriors, it was Freddy's Dead. That's the one that featured the three dream demons, or hell demons. I think they're dream demons. Anyway, they're demons nonetheless. But that's what I was talking about. I'm only dreaming. Okay, so what have we learned today? We learned that drums sound like this. So that's drums. Yay! And here's what a shovel sounds like. Yeah! Alright. So, thank you and stay tuned for more.
The PKE meter, also known as Auroscope, was one of the Ghostbusters' tools invented by Dr. Egon Spengler that enabled them to track ghosts and other entities. History. Ghostbusters. The PKE meter was one of the oldest invention and piece of equipment used by the Ghostbusters. It was built before the formation of the Ghostbusters and used by Egon, Dr. Stintz, and Dr. Venkman while they were employed by Columbia University. Egon and Ray responded to a call from the New York City Public Library and investigated.